Hello and welcome to the Purium Health Products Meet the Owners conference call. My name is Amy and I'm one of the owners and founders calling in from the corporate office here in Long Beach, California. And we also have with us on the line calling in from the beautiful state of Hawaii, David Sandoval, who is over there about to do a lecture. And David is also a radio personality. He is a lecturer and an author. So welcome, Dave. Thank you so much for taking time after a long six-hour flight to be with us on the call tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was an early start to a long day, but I'm very excited to be here and really excited to meet some of the amazing new Purium members who we're going to be having a workshop, doing a trade show as well, and getting to spend some time together.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit tonight about, what's appropriate. You know, when you know that you got to make a change, when you know that maybe you're not doing something like you should be with your diet, is it ever too early to make that change? Is it ever too late to make that change? So you have a lot of really awesome insights. So why don't you just talk a bit on that concept and let us know what you think about that.
Well, thanks, Amy, and thanks again to everybody who's on the call tonight. I get asked a lot of questions. I always love, to sort of get into the details, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of listening, and a lot of thinking. I have always been sort of a person who when in my younger days I would sort of rush into things, and then I would make mistakes, and I learned from the wisdom of my grandfather, who said, measure twice and cut once, And so when people ask for me for my advice, I always, want to make sure that it's proper before I offer it. And so when people call and say, how young is too young to start my children on either Purium products or simply on, on a strict diet, or not a strict diet, I don't like the word strict, but on a far better diet than the diet that the typical American might participate in. And so, and here's what's amazing, is there are so many statistics. I want to give you guys just a little bit of insight into how important it is to start out life on the right foot, okay? And then I'm going to show you how even if you mess everything up for years and years and years and years, that it's never too late to make a change, okay? So let's start with the importance of getting off on the right foot. If you're breastfed, especially by a mother who ate well, but if you're breastfed, period, statistics show you will live longer. You'll have far fewer diseases, far fewer allergies, far fewer conditions that afflict those who are not breastfed. If you eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and whole grains in your youth, it's been proven that you will seek out fruits and vegetables and whole grains in your adult life. If you are overweight when you give birth to a child, 60% of the time your child will be obese. You see, the way we start is so oftentimes the way we continue and the way we end. So starting out, giving somebody good habits they don't have to break later, giving somebody good, solid immune system that won't be compromised later or sooner, giving somebody a point of reference of what it feels like to be well. So when they backslide and they begin to eat food that isn't so healthy, they'll see the difference in the way their body functions. So it's so important to set the stage, to set the bar, to establish criterion within our metabolic system that can be so incredibly valuable later on in life. Ridiculously important later on in life. And so, obviously, when you look at coconut oil and its similarity to the fats you find in mother's milk, when you look at the germinated seeds and the sprouted seeds and the similarities they have to the immune-boosting properties that we typically would get in that early childhood, of course you could later supplement and improve dramatically. But let's not deny that it is never, ever too young to start teaching your children. Now, I have a daughter, and I let her make her food choices. That's right. I didn't tell her what to eat. I said, Chloe, you could have anything you want. You want apples, bananas, oranges, pears, avocados, or walnuts. You could have anything you want. You see, I didn't say you could have anything you want, period. No, you could have anything you want off of this table, off of this list. And I made that list. And sure enough, now she, I'm not going to brag, but she had amazing straight-A type grades throughout her entire academic career. Never really had any conflict that I can remember of significance with her mother, her siblings, or myself, or her friends. And I really honor nutrition for that. There was a little bit of good parenting thrown in there. But I honor nutrition for that. Her mind was able to think clearly. And that's so important. And the earlier you set your child's mind free to think clearly. And let's look at the alternative. Do you want to set a legacy? You're going to set a legacy for your children that they are going to have a history. There's something called socialization. And let's talk about religion. If your mother and your father practice a certain religion, there's a 95% chance that you're going to teach that religion to your children. Did you know that? If you grew up eating bacon and eggs and white bread and cooked your eggs in the grease and you fried your potatoes and you ate that, that's the legacy you establish. That's the food you like. That's the food you're going to feed your children. That's the food they're going to feed their children. That is socialization. Socialization is what you learned, the habits that you were taught by your parents, and those are the ones you want to perpetuate, and they will. When people tell me diabetes runs in my family, I say, no. Fried potatoes and white bread and potato chips and Diet Cokes run in your family. And that leads to diabetes. It's a social disease. You were socialized into it. You were convinced by McDonald's commercials. McDonald's is my type of place. And you talk to a clown and you get excited by the magically delicious and the Tony the Tigers. They're greats and all of that. It hypnotizes us. But where are the parents who could say no? You see, we've got to stop advocating our responsibility. In fact, tonight we're taking a stand and we're calling people to action. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But what if you did go down that road? What if you did eat from that compromised tree? What if your health becomes compromised? What if? Well, I got to tell you a story. This is one of the coolest stories. It's a story of hope. It's a story about doctors who studied cows, and they looked at the cows, and they said, during the spring and summer, these cows have abundant milk. They never get sick. They have great birthing experiences where they give healthy, high-weight calves. And in the winter, they don't give much milk. The milk doesn't taste so sweet. They tend to get more sick. They don't have very many calves. And we want to know why. And they said, observation. In the spring and summer, they eat green grass. In the fall, they eat dried hay. Maybe that's the difference. This was back in the 1920s. And they discovered that if you froze the fresh grass or dehydrated the fresh grass and then fed it to them during the winter and the fall when they typically wouldn't have fresh greens, then suddenly their milk was abundant. Their milk was delicious. Their calves were born healthy and of good weight. They didn't get sick. Well, they discovered what they called the grass juice factor. And they wanted to study it. And this is what, that's background information. I had to tell you it so you could learn that they then created three groups of animals. One group was fed that green grass, wheat grass, oat grass, and alfalfa. The other group was fed carrots and cabbage. And the third group was fed processed dry food. Now, this isn't preservatives. This isn't artificial colors. This isn't artificial flavors. This isn't trans fats. This isn't, no. This is just preserved food, dried food that was dead and had no color, you know. Well, they fed the three groups, and the group that didn't get very much nutrition, the group that ate, let's say, the fast food, if you would, they got fat. They weren't very smart. They went bald, they got disease, they didn't reproduce well, they fought, and their memory was bad. They couldn't make it through the maze and the labyrinth any faster than they did on day three than they did on day two. So basically, they just weren't that sharp. The second group, the carrot and cabbage group, they actually were pretty healthy. About three-quarters through their life, though, they started exhibiting and displaying symptoms of malnutrition because the carrots and cabbage just weren't enough. And actually ended their life with diseases of malnutrition. The first group, amazingly healthy, amazingly intelligent, amazingly reproductive, had all of their hair, no backbiting, no problem within the labyrinth or the maze, extended life, no disease, all of that, amazing, incredible health, vibrant health in that group. Well, then they took group number two and group number three, a second group, and they recreated diet of group number two and group number three. And halfway through their life, they stopped feeding them that nasty diet or that not quite good enough diet. And they started feeding them the completely good diet, the green food diet. And guess what? They regained almost perfect health. Yes, there were some compromises. They didn't live quite as long. They didn't avoid all of the diseases, but they came back 75%, 80% after having started their life totally going the wrong direction. The problem is, how can you treat human beings like animals? You can't just stop letting them eat something and force them to eat something else the way they did with those animals. That's a decision we have to make. And it's such a difficult decision to make. But if we do, Schnabel and Kohler proved that it's never too late. And Amy and I proved it's never too late every single day with the thousands of stories that we get, that we have gotten over the years that tell us it's never too late. And that's why we are here, so that when you make that decision, when you decide it's never too late, we'll be here. When you decide it's never too soon, we'll be here. Because we want to start to give people an opportunity to participate in something dynamic, something incredible, something life-changing, something world-changing, something destiny-changing, and that something has to be given a name, and so we decided to give a name to it. We call it the Real Food Revolution. Okay, and the Real Food Revolution is going to be driven by something Amy's going to talk about in 1 second, but the Real Food Revolution is a backlash. The Real Food Revolution is people saying, you know what, I'm not going to take this anymore. I see that the big food companies, the big agricultural companies, the big chemical companies, the big supermarkets, I see that even our government has sat by complicitly while the food that they told us was going to nourish us has killed us, has shortened our lifespans, has led to unprecedented levels of disease and diabetes and emphysema, and who knows if maybe it also leads to autism and Alzheimer's and all these other things that are affecting the very young and the very old as never, ever before. Amy, I haven't let you get a word in sideways. I'm sorry.
No problem.
But the bottom line is that people are mad. They're not just, they're realizing they've been lied to. They've been cheated. They've been robbed. They have had the lives of the people they love taken from them. And dang it, they're not going to take it anymore. And people are starting to fight back. They're starting to push back, but they're not sure where to start. And I think it needs to start with education. It needs to start with a pledge. We're starting to put together this pledge. And Amy, did you see that? That we had started to put together that pledge. And we're looking to get 1 million people to make this pledge. And we've done some math. And it's like, you know, if we get 100 cities with 1,000 people that tell 10 people each, 100 cities with 1,000 people that tell 10 people each, that we could have 1 million voices screaming. And when 1 million voices are screaming, they're going to be heard. And so, you know, the thing we want is we want to create, you know, we want to give sort of power to the real food revolution. We want to give a voice and a face to it. And so David Litt has come up with a concept he calls the Million Mother Mission, the Million Mom Mission.
Mom Movement.
The Million Mom Movement. Well, we'll come up with something, and we'll make it work. We'll do it together. But the bottom line is that the Million Mom Movement is something that we want to give fuel to the real food revolution. And so I guess, Amy, do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, about some of the things that I've been, you know, sharing and give your opinion? Because I sort of went on and on and on there. Why don't you give a little bit of your two cents?
Sure, no problem. And no, obviously, as everybody can tell, Dave is very passionate about the subject. I mean, this is what, you know, fuels his fire is to get out and to educate people and to show how it's never too early to get your children started on forming these healthy habits, and it's never too late, no matter if you're in your 70s or 80s or 90s, to start feeling better. And no, you may not be able to roll back 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years worth of damage, but you know what? You can make today a little better, and you can start to peel back the layers of the onions of the damage. But we all know that if you start young, if you start early when your kids are babies and toddlers and teenagers, you know, and moving into 20s and 30s, if you start on a good foundation, like, Dave, what's the, I should know this because I have toddlers, but what is it? It's like the three little pigs and the wolf, and I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow.
The Little Red Riding Hood. It's like this one's just right?
Yeah, and so if you build your house out of straw, it can get blown down. And the three little pigs, exactly. But if you build it out of stone, it's going to withstand tests, and it's going to withstand storms, and it's going to withstand that wolf blowing at your door, which, you know, we might could equate that to, you know, us treating ourselves here and there, us living in the world that we live in with all the toxins that we are exposed to on a daily basis. And unless we want to go living in a bubble, that's the wolf, because I don't want to go live in a bubble. I want to enjoy my life. I want to, you know, be out and about, but I know that there's dangers out there that really are out of my control. So I want to build a strong foundation. I want to control the things that I can control, and that is the nutritional inputs that I put in my body, and I don't want to be fanatic about it. I don't want to have a full-time job trying to do what's best for me and my family, and that is why Purium is so awesome, because you can build that strong foundation with very little time commitment, and really for super great value. You can build that strong foundation where you don't have to be afraid that your house built out of straw is going to blow over in the wind, because you've got a strong foundation and you're building your house, your health, out of stone, because you've got these superfoods. You're nourishing yourself with these superfoods every day. So, yes, challenges are going to come at you, and you're going to take in toxins just literally by walking outside and starting up your car and driving down the road. You're being exposed to things all around. But with the right tools, with the right inputs, your body can do amazing things to compensate for all the ugliness, all these wolves that are, you know, pawing at our door. Our body can defend that with our natural detoxification systems, with our natural defenses, if we're feeding ourselves at the cellular level with amazing superfoods. And that's what Purium is. And I'm getting excited about this too. Obviously, Dave was excited a little earlier in the call, but that's what this Million Mom movement is about. Because whether you're a man or a woman, or you're a child or you're a parent on the call, it's pretty commonplace that it's the mom of the household, it's the woman of the household that starts to change. You know, the mom starts cooking a little differently and it filters down to the kids. The mom says, hey, let's try this brand of X, and she goes out and buys it at the store. And I know roles are changing as parents are sharing duties, you know, much more in this day and age. And, you know, thank goodness for that. My husband helps me a ton. We share everything. But honestly, if I want something to change in my household, I do it. And I honestly have a more influence with
we
my
know
girls.
How dads feed the kids, though. Dad,
I know.
What do you want, sweetie? What do you want, sweetie? I could see Rian. He's such a sweet man. Just looking at those two little angels going, what do you want, sweetie? So, but, you know, I found the pledge. I found the pledge. You mind if I share it? And then I just want to let you comment on this. I'm putting this together, and I want everybody's, you know, feedback. But I pledge to defend the health of my family. I pledge to reject GMOs, artificial colors, trans fats, and denatured fake food. I pledge to reject fast foods and always read labels carefully. I pledge that I will educate myself and lead by example. I will join the Million Mom Movement and save future generations of children by the actions that I take today. And I think that that's the start of a movement. It may not be perfect yet, but it's my pledge of allegiance in a way, you know, and I want people to really, you know, pledge their commitment, because we're at crisis stage in this country, in this world. Food, as we once knew it, has almost disappeared. And we've got to get this real food revolution moving. It's going to take people to drive it. And maybe a Million Mom Movement is what it's going to take. But, you know, I'm one of those moms, for sure. I'm throwing my hat in the ring. So, Million Mom, Movement, Million Man, it doesn't matter. We're going to do this, and we're going to get the real food revolution to be recognized as a real movement. And I want you guys to know that we're going to be pressing this. David Litt's going to come out with an agenda. We're going to start to create sort of a manifesto, if you would, about how we can help you in every way, defend you and your family, and make sure that you are among those who are still standing after that really hard wind blows. So as Amy made a great analogy, that wolf is everything around us that would try to blow holes through our health. And those bricks in that house are the time that you take and the effort that you make to build a strong immune system and a strong, healthy body. So great job tonight, Amy. I want to leave, you know, everybody, you know, with Amy's final words. So I've said what I have to say, and Amy, why don't you go ahead and wrap it up?
Yeah, I think you summed it up really well, that we're looking for people to, you know, join a cause, join a movement. And we're really excited about this. This is kind of just a pre-little get to know what's going on behind the scenes. There'll be much, much, much more of this Million Mom movement, driving the real food revolution to come in future weeks and months. So just a little preview, just kind of tied into, again, it's never too soon to get your kids taking Purium products and to set a strong nutritional foundation. The Power Shake, the Cherry, those are two amazing products. The Love Super Meal, easy to get to kids, make a smoothie. The Cherry, they'll just drink it all by itself. And you know what's hilarious is that little babies that have been breastfed, they love just the plain old wheatgrass, just the plain old organic Kamut blend or barley green juice. You can't hardly get it away from them once you give it to them, because their taste buds haven't been adulterated. They haven't been exposed to, you know, all these other fake things out in the world. They know what real food is because their breast milk was real food. So anyway, it just, again, it proves that we are also exposed to the salt, the sugar, the fat, et cetera, that it really modifies and changes. But as you work your way, as you take green juice, as you alkalize your body, that natural instinct will come back. But it's just always very interesting to see a little one-year-old baby or an eight-month-old baby just guzzling down the green because they know what's good for them. So anyway, that pretty much sums it up. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Dave, I know you're on a tight time schedule here, and we want to be sensitive to that. So thanks for taking the time out. I know you're tired after flying all day, and appreciate the passion, appreciate the information.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. And for those of you who haven't figured it out, Amy's the diplomat between the two of us. I'm sort of the one who, you know, maybe offends somebody once in a while and maybe just says it, shoots from the hip, you know, because I'm really am passionate about what I do. And, you know, so, you know, again, if there's a reason Amy and I make such a good team, her and I and David Litt and everybody else, is because we all have something important to bring to the table. You know, Amy might be that steady hand diplomat. David Litt might be that ambitious, you know, educator. And me, I'm just that, you know, I'm just passionately fighting for what I believe in. And so, you know, if anything I said tonight, you know, rubbed anybody the wrong way, I'm not accusing moms of abdicating their responsibility maybe as strongly as I said. But, I mean, we do have a problem, and I want moms to be the ones who are the solution.
Absolutely. I think that the mom has a lot of power in the household, so we get the mom to buy in. I think we have a lot greater chance of success in that household. So we're reaching out to the moms out there and to the dads who play both roles, and let's get it done. Let's get people together, educate them, and improve health and well-being all around.
Awesome. Well, great job tonight. Thanks again for everybody who's on the call. Don't forget tomorrow night, David Litt will be back here. He probably will not have me, as I'll be, well, actually, because of the time difference, I think I'll make all of my appointments. So I'll be there with you guys tomorrow, Thursday, 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 Eastern, and then I'll be off and having a great time with the folks over in Hawaii. And I look forward to meeting them all as well. So thanks again, Amy, and good night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.